Praying the other night, I asked God, if you'll turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 and 1. Then we're going to go to Isaiah 61, 1. Galatians 5 and 1. I asked, it says, stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Isaiah 10:27 tells us that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Galatians 4:16 tells us, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" No, I'm not your enemy. I want to be your friend. There's a spirit of Jonadab out there that tells everybody, do what I say and I'll be your friend and I'll lead you into sin. And then they act like they're your friend, but they're just leading you into hurt. I don't want to lead you into hurt. I don't want to lead you into heartaches. And that's the way the path of this world goes. That's the way the world, if they follow, you get around people and the influence of peers will lead young people. It even led my life down a path, Brother Rick, that as long as everything was going smooth, everything was all right, they was my buddy. But when things got to going bad and my pockets were empty and I was no longer joyful, they want somebody that's happy. You know what happens then? You're left to stand alone. But I want to tell you something. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. I wrote it down on the way down here. Do you think God opened doors for people? Do you? I was praying the other night down in Kentucky. I'm going to get back to preaching. I said, God, and there's nothing open yet in Maysville, and I don't know why. I said, God, you've called me to preach. I don't want to sour. And if you'll start opening doors, I'll go. We'd already been visiting around, Brother Shockley. The phone rang and they said, we want you to come preach. This was Sunday night. They called Saturday afternoon. And I got in from work. Norman said, they want you to preach out at, I caught Brother Hughes' old hometown, homeland. It's between Grayson and Ashland, over there around Catlicksburg, Tannensburg, somewhere over there. Bear Creek Pentecostal Church. I preached for them before. God opened the door. We went. God helped us. I felt like we had a real good service. And you know, we was up here, Brother Rick, and I was going back between two opinions. I got to work in the morning. It's a busy week. And I thought, should we drive back? But I thought, no, Brother Shockley, I'd rather sacrifice the flesh and come to this church, be fed once again. I had no intention of preaching tonight. But I thank God I was back there praying when Brother Collins told me to obey God. God said, you said open the doors, and he's opened me another door, so I better stay and go and do what God said to do. And God said in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the peak. Unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It ain't me. I ain't nothing. I'm just clay. OBC Brandon, that good brother from out there in the old show, he said, I'm mud. You're mud. Who's afraid of mud? Yeah. I want to tell you something. It ain't nothing that we do. Brother Hughes is preaching, giving the glory to God. It ain't us. Brother Rick, it ain't us. It ain't us, Brother Rick. Glory to God. It's a vessel yielded to the Spirit and the power and the anointing of God, Brother Shane. To God be all the glory. They used to say down there, and I liked it. God started filling the church up. They'd say one man plants, one man waters. But God, God, the mighty God, gives the increase. Talking to the pastor over there. Went out to eat at Hardee's and talking to the pastor, Brother Moore. I said, you know, I've been there, Sister, causing the criticism when I couldn't do nothing right. And everybody had a word of advice for me. Let me tell you how to do it, Mike. Let me just tell you how to do it, Mike. I took the criticisms. I took the backbites. But here lately, I've been getting a little bit of praise, Brother Shockley. You know what I told Brother Moore? I said, I told old Mike when I was looking in the mirror, be careful, Mike. If the devil can't get you to fall because they want to step on you and crush you in the ground because of the criticism, he'll try to lift you up so high that you feel like you've got all the answers, Brother Cubs. Be careful lest you fall. What do you want me to do, God? I'm just going to preach. Am I going to try to mimic some preacher? No. I'm Mike. God called me just as I am, without one plea. That's all. I'm just me, sister. I'm just me. When you call for Mike Barker to preach, you call for me. That's what you get. I don't make no apologies. Oh, glory to God. I'm just what I am. But I'm so thankful. I started telling you a while ago. Young people, I've got eyes. I've been gone for a while, but I've been visiting here lately because we've been wanting to get my family fed. I fought the flesh today because I felt like going back home, but I said, let's just stay. My wife needs to be fed. My children need to be fed. I need to be fed. But Brother Rich, you know what I've realized? Even though I'm the one preaching tonight, I preach myself into an order Sunday night, Brother Cuz. I'm obedient to God. I'm not saying I'm the best preacher. I'm not saying I'm the greatest thing that ever come along, but I will be a unit vessel willing to be worked with and used of God. You want to know the key to it? It's going to take the anointing. You want to know what people, these young people are being bound with? They're being bound with the yoke of sin. They're entangling themselves once again with the things they once laid down. I told you about a week ago, Peter left his net when he found Jesus Christ and straightway followed after him. Well, I've been for 2 days now. I told Norma before we left to come to church, I said, I'm sick of this place. I'm talking about this area. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about sin on every hand. I'm talking about always hearing bad news, Sister Tina, my good sister. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. When I was the same, Brother Collins, and Tina was younger, I used to pray. I said, God, let us find something in church that I found where the world wouldn't even feel appealing to her. And I'm proud of my sister. She's 11 years younger than me. But you know what she's going to do? I feel like she'll stand there for God. But I wish some of the young people, I wish there was more. Here tonight, I'm thinking about Ryan College right now. And Ryan, if you get the tape, son, you're entangling with yourself with things that's going to destroy you. Right. If the devil has his way, you'll never find yourself in an old-fashioned order once again. I want to tell you something. It's human. It's human, Brother Shockley, to stand with the crowd. But it's divine, Shane, to stand alone. If you want to walk with God, you're going to be forsaken. I thought everybody celebrating. We watched last night out there in Middletown, watched them fireworks, and I had my little girl Rebecca next to me. Brother Randy, you think it's just about over? Then all of a sudden, here'd go another one, and I was laughing. I was laughing. I liked that so much. You know, but what? We celebrate always the victory, but I thought there's been a lot of people on the battlefield, a lot of men. I was never in war. Brother Hughes was. Brother Hughes, there's a lot of them boys. All they wanted to do was just get back home. They were fighting for their life, and they just wanted to get back home. I want to tell you something. You're going to live for God, it's going to be a fight. You're going to stand for God, it's going to be a fight. You're going to feel like you're alone. Why in the world? It seems like that to me every time I was in the heatest part of my battle. I felt like I was alone, but thank God for the victories. When the victories come and I celebrated, I don't care if people join in on our celebration with me. But you know what, Brother Randy? A lot of times, it's going to be you by yourself in your closet somewhere. Oh, we got people that pray with us, Brother Shane. But they ain't going to be the ones that the devil's going to fight. He's fighting you individually, Randy, that he don't fight with me on things. And he's fighting Shane on things he don't fight with me on. But I want to tell you, you got to get victory for yourself. If I could pray through for a lot of you young people, I'd pray through right now. I would have been in the altar when the prayer service was in it at 7:30. I'd have been there still. But I can't do it, but you can. And the sad thing about it, I'm not going to suffer the effects of not living for God. You will. You will. I wrote it down. I liked it. Brother Cash Amberger said, only one life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. I like that. Well, you ain't got much. And I don't say I've got much. I don't belittle myself. I give God all the praise, the glory. But Brother Randy, we rely upon God. I want to live for God. I want to be used of God. I want you young people to turn your life around. Maybe some of you are faking me. Maybe some of you are putting the dog on and act like everything's all right. Be careful. How big is your God? How big is your God? Does your God only see so far that his vision blurs? My God don't. We went through caves in Arkansas. And then we went down to Carter Caves in Kentucky, Brother Randy. In the midst of them caves, we turned the light out. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I hated that pitch blackness. I hated it. You know what I thought about? Outer darkness. How dark, how void hell's going to be. I want to tell you something. I had people all around me, the flashlights, but we agreed to turn them off. And I felt alone. I felt so alone. And I felt separated. I thought, oh God, people are going to spend eternity separated from family, friends, and you. And they act like it's a game. They act like I've got tomorrow. In case you don't know, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow was Tuesday, and we said tomorrow we're going to do something. That was today. But now this ain't tomorrow, it's today. And tomorrow's Thursday. And if God lives and we rise in the morning, God gives us grace to rise in the morning, then tomorrow ain't going to be here either, because then tomorrow will be Friday. And that's real deep. I know it is. That's real deep. But I want to tell you something. Tomorrow never comes. But today, today, today is the day of salvation. Today. Can you lift your hands and praise the Lord? Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Brother Collins, I was praying, and Brother Collins came to my mind, and I wrote some things down. It's good to put a little bit of notes in your Bible. Yeah. I don't care whether you're 6 or 60. Brother Collins said this. I wrote it down. He said, saying no to the devil means saying yes to God. Well, you know, I'd fought flesh. I'd fought things, Brother Randy, that was bothering me. And I got down to pray, and I started to repent. God said, it ain't a sin to be tempted. It ain't a sin to be tempted. It's where you yield to the temptation. But you know what? I want to live. I want to live to say yes to God no matter what. Brother John Cordell preached from out in Ashland, said, he was talking about this. I liked it, so I wrote it down. He said, it didn't cost me nothing to get my job. I don't know about a lot of people, but every time I went to an interview, they've never watched me work. They've never watched me load a truck, unload a truck. I used to work dock, work the receiving dock. They've never watched me when I was a hod carrier in Missouri. They never watched me lift them blocks and make that mortar and slap that hod and stuff. But Brother Randy, they did it because they had faith. It didn't cost me nothing to get the job, but it cost me a whole lot of work to keep this job. I work for a living, for Frito-Lay. Hey, if I don't get up in the morning and go to work, and then do it again and again and again, they'll say, we don't need you, man. And I want to tell you something. You want to stay safe, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to make your mind up. There's times I felt dry, so dry, so dry. You're listening. I wish I had a quarter. Preacher one time took a quarter out of his pocket. And he went on right on a preaching. He left that quarter, took it out of his pocket, didn't say a word. Laid it down there on the altar and just kept on preaching. You know what everybody's mind was on? What he's doing with that quarter. All of a sudden, about midway through the rest of his message, he turned around and said, if I had your attention the way I did on that quarter, he said, God's wanting to get your attention on some things. And I want to tell you something. God has given me the opportunity to preach to you, and I'm going to give you the best I can. But I want to tell you, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to make your mind up to serve God, live for Him. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. That's all there is that you're going to have to. I like this. Said Jesus died down here that I might be saved, but he lives up there that I might stay saved. Yeah. We've got one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ. You better get to know him. You better get to know him. Sister Collins and them came with some of the family yesterday to a dinner we had, and Norma was telling me later, it didn't hit me till we was leaving. My dad had some family that he hadn't seen in about 40 years, and they've been trying to get up with some of the people. They'd been calling Dad, and his name's Bus Kirk. And the fact that in Kentucky, they tell me there's a town called Bus Kirk. It's on my Grandma Barker's side of the family. But all my dad's people's dying off. All my dad's people's dying off, Brother Randy. And they came yesterday. The man came from Kentucky up to Cincinnati area. He owned a bar there for years. And you know, nobody was saying anything. We wasn't wearing no buttons saying, I love Jesus and all this kind of stuff. But Sister Collins got Norman and them. They started singing some songs. And God started blessing. God started moving. They could feel it, you know, and things. And I talked to Dad later, you know. And Sister Collins said, in mixed company like that, when there's sinners there and stuff, it's good like that. And I thought, Lord, the man let us know that he had had a bar for years, had been in Catholicism, believed in the Catholic way, and they was talking everything, you know. I reckon he's pretty successful in this world. But how is he going to be come eternity when he stands before God, a holy God? And I thought this. I thought, Lord, I wish probably I would have took more of the initiative. I made the initiative when I was back here in the room talking to him. Me and him kept eating. I was talking. I was interested in things. And I was talking to him about my grandma and grandpa Barker and everything like that. But I wish I'd just, if I could bring back yesterday and could have said a few more things, I would ask him, how are you prepared for eternity? Do you know that your soul is right? I was knocking on doors when God told me to start knocking on doors. And the only thing God would give me, Sister Gina, was everybody went to church. I thought, this got to be better than this. The whole world can't be saved. I know the way they're living, they're not saved. I knocked on a door. Person answered. I said, are you ready to meet God in the next 5 minutes if your soul should be required of you? Nobody would know that. Scared them to death. They were searching for words. But do you ever stand in the mirror and ask yourself that? Do you ever stand and do you ever ask yourself, how am I fixed for eternity? How am I fixed for eternity? Is my soul right with God? Norma told me, Brother Rick, she said, you're moping around, Mike. What's wrong? What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. I'm tired of seeing everybody getting entangled in things. They don't want to tie me the way horse. They don't want to show me the way to live for God. And now they're turning their back on God. You almost feel like you're in the way sometimes when you get around them. Because you're a mimic to the way they used to live. And a lot of times they'll get bitter and they take it out on you. But I'm just living a life that you showed me when you had me lead me to church and invited me to come to church, and I came to this church and I got saved. I'm just living what you lived in 1980. But how are you fixed for eternity, my friend? How are you fixed for eternity, my loved one? I'll not stand for you. I'll not stand for my wife. I'll stand for myself. And Mike, with all the help and grace and ability he's got with God, is going to make it. But I like this much better. I want you to make it. I want you all to make it. I don't want to scare you, but I want you to make it. You're playing with death and you don't even realize it. You're playing with things that you don't even realize how serious it is. Somebody asked to get prayed for the other day. Praying for them, they told me some of the things they was working. They said I'm double-minded. They told me a few things they was said when I was earlier in my life. I got into some witchcraft and stuff. And I want to tell you something. I don't turn the power of God on and off. But I felt the power of God come on me. And you can say what you want to. I could begin to pray with him. I think you was helping me pray. And I felt the power of God. I thought, Lord, we're wrestling for a soul here for eternity. We're talking about eternal matters. We're talking about eternal God. We're talking about eternal damnation or eternal bliss. It's called heaven or hell. You don't very seldom hear anything preached, or I don't, on hell anymore. But I want to tell you something. There's a place to shun. There is a place to shun. You got a fear, you better have a fear of hell. I didn't look for no fire escape, but I'm thankful that I did find one. I wanted to find God, and I want to keep God in my life. I had the experience one time. I had the experience one time when I first got saved. I was praying. I was seeking God's face. And I got up that morning, and I felt like God had left me. I felt like I couldn't feel the presence of God. And I went to the kitchen window, or I went to the living room window and stared out over those fields where we used to live out in the country. I was at home then. I wasn't married. And Brother Rick, I thought, God, see, the devil was saying you went too far. I was dabbling on the edge once again. Dabbling on the edge. That's a miserable life. That's a miserable life. Dabbling on the edge, playing on the fence. The devil said, you went too far this time. And I stood there at that window and I said, God, if I live to be 100 years old and never get saved, I've lost it all. I've lost it all. One man said this. He said, if you fall, you can all stand. I've gave you my heart. I've gave you my heart. You can stand. I want to ask you something. Be sensitive to God. Don't get cold on God. Don't get so hard you can't even shed a tear. That worries me when I get in that state, Brother Shockley. That's the flesh taking over. Paul said, I die daily. One old preacher said this. He said, you're going to fall. If you fall, I pray it's in an old-fashioned altar. I want to tell you something. Ride the altar. I believe it's Brother Collins says, ride the altar in heaven. Sure. Ride into heaven. I've been in churches where they left the altar out. They expect you to come up there and make a confession of faith and shake the preacher's hand and everything's all right and be changed in a half an hour to get baptized in the baptistry. There's more to it. There's more to it. I like people that are broken. I stood on the porch, and I've told it, but I'm going to tell it again. I stood on the porch of a backslider from our church, a young man. He's played along the edge too much. Finally, he got out of church. I said, Chris, you need help. I said, Chris, God loves you. He's never stopped loving you. Never. That's the thing. He's never. You tell me when God ever stopped loving you. He's never. Even in your sinful shape and your sinner ways, he's never stopped loving you. I said, Chris, God still loves you. God still wants to help you. God wants you back home where you belong, prodigal. I got got those words out, I really thought what I would do, Brother Randy, was say, Chris, promise me you'll meet us in Sunday school the next morning. Promise me you'll do that. But I said those words, Sister Gina, and I thought I was going to walk off. We was on the porch. Are you ashamed of your God? We was on the porch with trailers all around. The lights were on a Saturday night. And I felt like to stop by and talk to Chris because God directed me. And I pray it was that anointing touched and grabbed a hold of that yoke and he was bound with again. And I said those words and he started breaking and he threw his head into my chest right here and started bawling. Oh, I said, thank God. I said, Chris, tell him all about it. Tell him all about it, Chris. Tell him all about it. Get back to God. You know how to pray. And I want to tell you something. If you don't know how to pray, I've had boys in our honor before. They said, Mike, I don't know how to pray. I said, can you talk to a friend? Can you talk to a loved one? When you can talk to God, he speaks all languages. He knows the very interior heart. He knows whether you're serious or not. I said, Chris, pour it out. I don't know what all them tears said because that's about all he done. Sister Gina was, he even cried. But those tears said a whole lot of my, I'm sorry. Those tears said a whole lot of my regret. Those tears said a whole lot of I wish I had never. Right in the middle of that praying, Brother Rick, here comes a friend of ours that was backsliding from the church, another backslider. He said, you better get over to your brother's trailer. It's burning down. They just got word. The fire department's on the way over there. He walked away. I said, Chris, God will take care of your brother. His brother was saved. I said, what God wants you to do is get back to God. He wants you to get your soul right. We went on praying. We got done praying. We went to this brother's house and his mom and dad, they're one boy's trailer. They'd always lived for God. So far, they've always stayed true to God, him and his wife. I performed a marriage ceremony over him. But you know what, Brother Collins? There was that other boy that was the one that was straight and kept mom up and awake all the time. And there was one tragedy hit one home, but the prodigal come home right in the midst of that tragedy. You know what I thought? I told Chris this. I said, Chris, it don't matter about those temple trailers. God supply your brother's needs. What's important is your soul. We had a prayer meeting that night in that house, in their mom and dad's house, because that prodigal son had come home. I thank God. I want to tell you something. I don't know what's going to happen to you. There's been a time in my life, as we all come to, they start to sing softly. There's been a time in my life when I used to question God. God, why? I'm trying my best to live for you. And why does everything always happen to us? But you know why it happened like that? Because now when I was down there in pastor, I could say, I sat where you sat. I've been where you sat. I know what it's like to go through that. I had compassion. I want to tell you, the gist of my message is, you're going to face God someday. I feel like that the power of God wants you to be saved. The anointing is going to break the yoke. He said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plain of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I've been bought with the price. I'm not my own. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Let's all come in and pray. I knew I wasn't going to preach, so I don't want to make time for an altar call. I don't want you praying back at your seat. If you can make your way to the altar, come and find yourself an altar. Come and find yourself an altar. Make yourself a spot right here. Make it your personal altar. I want to ask you right now, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Would it be you that answers to God on that question? You're going to be like I did. Sister Hazel asked me to pray, and I said, she said, if you die lost, you're going to go to hell. You know that, don't you? I said, I don't care. I didn't care when I was around my friend, but when I got home, I laid there in the bed in the darkness, Brother Donnie. All I could feel was that voice right over my mind. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. You're playing around with God. You're playing games with eternity. You're playing games with your soul. It's going to be up to you to make the decision to live for him. And I pray when you do, Make up your mind. You'll go all the way with God. Too many people's got too close to the end and gave up. I like hearing the complete story. I like preaching about men that went all the way with God and are now in heaven. I like telling people about how I used to listen to Brother Claude Ely's messages and how I used to listen to Brother Claude Ely's records, because he's a man of God that went all the way with God and finished his race. I want you to make it. I want you to make it. That's the gist of my message. I want you to make it.